City City Council meeting. It is October 28th. It is 4 o'clock. And we are going to begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. They'll all join me with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the Republic of which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty
and justice for all.
The list here with our outgoing yet Mayor Pro Tem, Councilmember Jared Couch.
Present.
Councilman Owen. Councilman DeYoung.
Present.
Councilman McGoffin.
Present.
Councilman Allen.
Present.
Councilman Member Kinzer.
Present.
And Councilmember.
For not being able to turn on video due to my location today.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. And Council Member Kesty.
Present.
Good. So Doug, I did not hear from Chuck. Owen, did you?
No, I have not heard from him.
So we'll Chuck may not be here today.
We'll watch for him and see if he comes on. All right. I am looking for an approval of the agenda.
Madam Mayor, I move to approve the agenda.
Madam Mayor, Councilmember DeYoung, second.
Okay, I have a member by Councilmember Kinzer, seconded by Councilmember DeYoung. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. All carries. Consent agenda, items 1 through 4, looking for a motion.
Madam Mayor, Councilman McGough, I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second it. Councilman Allen.
We had a motion by Councilmember McGoffin, seconded by Councilmember Allen. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Yeah. Motion carries. We'll move right into staff reports, and I'll begin with Fire Chief Klinger.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. Just to bring up, we've had just an increase in calls, and most of them are seeming to be a lot of mental health type issues. It just seems to be it's a growing thing that's going in between us and the police department. But as far as COVID numbers, we're still about holding the same as where we were last council meeting. So it's about all we have.
All right. Thank you. Police Chief Tucker.
Right. And just to clarify, that mental health thing Dean was talking about is the people we're serving, not our individual departments, just to let you know. I just got three things here. We got word of a protest on the Friday at 4 p.m. at Henry Heritage. Apparently there is a, I'm getting a lot of feedback. Is anybody else hearing that?
No, but you're cutting
back through the mayor's mic.
And there, that's mute.
Yeah, Mayor, it seems like it's echoing from your mic.
Mayor, Glenna, Councilman Allen, a lot of feedback, too.
There. All right, I'll try this again. We have a protest scheduled for this Friday at 4 p.m. at Hammer Heritage Park. We're getting word on that there's a group that wants to protest the recent or today's Supreme Court Justice nomination. About 20 students are looking at coming to do some sort of protest. We don't expect any issues. We don't have any extra staff on, but we'll be monitoring that. We're getting a request from the auditor for additional security Just to keep an eye on the ballot boxes up until the night of the election, until approximately 8 p.m. whenever they start closing the ballot boxes and collecting all the ballots. So we're going to be keeping an eye on that as well to see if it's necessary. And we're going to put some guidance out on social media just for some guidelines of what the auditors put out to us as well. And finally, we're going to, my lieutenant and I are going to head down to the Criminal Justice Training Commission down in Burien and meet up with four of our recruits who are in the academy just to check in with them, take them out to dinner, see what they're doing, see how they're doing in the going to the police academy during COVID, and just do a kind of a, just to check on them, just to see if they're not having too much fun. And that's all I have.
All right, thank you. And let's move on to the IT Director, Bill Chambers.
Hi, all. Just plugging away on the email migration and hoping to get that all completed for the switchover the end of the first week or second week of November. I believe there, Glenn said there are about 15 doors left, I believe, that need to be completed for the key card door entry system. And those are the two main things that we're working on right now.
All right, thank you. And I want to make a note that Council Member has joined us. Hello there, Chuck, welcome. Moving on to Finance Manager, Jill Scott.
Good afternoon, thank you. Just submitted a request to the Department of Commerce for roughly $100,000 for the CARES Act funds, and we'll be continuing to work on that through the month of November. We have through November 30th to spend those funds and request reimbursement. I've also been working on the GMT cost report and just a lot of miscellaneous requests for information and various things from staff members. Otherwise, that's all I have to report today.
All right, thank you, Jill. Building and Permit Director, John Coleman.
Good afternoon. So we've been spending a lot of time this week trying to clean up some finance numbers, working with the finance department to clean up the borrower's accounting numbers, which is something that been probably needed for a while, which is taking a lot more time than would have expected. We also are putting the final touches on processing a $16,000 grant for updating our Shoreline Master Plan program. So that's our development regulations for areas shoreline. We're, the Department of Ecology is giving us a grant to make that work. That'll be done in June of next year. So we'll be using that money gladly. And then I've got two agenda items with the council tonight, so I'll be speaking with you more in just a little while.
All right, thank you, John. And Public Works Director Mark Freiberger. Mark, you're muted.
Had to find myself on the list there. Sorry about that. Thank you, Mayor. We are continuing our work on preparing an American Disabilities Act ADA transition plan. We did have the first meeting of our advisory group on the 13th of October. That went well. And we have a good engaged group that are helping with staff with that. And we also have a meeting on November the 5th scheduled from 6:30 to 8. It's a public meeting that we are advertising. We have been, as you know, publishing a survey. And so we are reaching directly out to anybody that did respond to the survey and making sure they know about it. And we're also advertising that through our website and other various media outlets to make sure the public, if they want to participate, can do so. And the information on that is on our website under resources if any of you are interested in looking at it. We're working towards having a plan in place by the end of March of 2021. So we've got a lot of work to do, but it's coming along pretty well. You may have noticed over at the library, there's a lot of activity and some of it's got Cedar Woolley stickers on it now. We've been preparing Rita Street for paving. Originally they were planning to pave this Friday. And so we started the pulverization and grading for the street yesterday. Then we found out today, I guess, that we can't pave until next week. And so we're looking at having the street closed to through traffic for the next week or so and waiting for that. There's just too many utilities in the way to try to leave it open. So just so you'll know, Dean and Lynn, that's the case right now there. And we've created a path for the two residences that are in that section of Rita Street. Tonight, we met with the utility committee and talked about the sewer outlook. Carl will probably want to speak to that a little bit later, but we are moving from that process into finalizing our sewer comp plan, which John is working to get approved as a part of the docket for this year. I believe there's a planning commission meeting on the 17th of November, and then you'll be seeing it in December at your meeting for a first read. And we also have executed a contract for rehabilitation of our Cook Road pump station. That work will start as soon as we can get the pumps approved and get them on site. That's a fairly painless operation. We have to bypass pump for about 3 days while we do that. And we're gearing up for that effort. And that's all I had, Mayor.
Thank you, Mark. City Attorney, Vicki Thompson.
Thank you, Mayor. And I don't actually have anything that is not of a confidential nature to share this evening.
All right, thank you. And our supervisor, Doug Merriman.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council. Just a couple of items. One is the budget. We are on track for having a preliminary budget completed the first week of November, and we'll be bringing that forward to you so you can get a look at how the budget is looking for 2021 and 2022. Other things that are going on, the state auditors are continuing their work. They're here till mid-November sometime. So we are just steadily working with them. In this COVID environment, trying to do audit is really interesting, but we're getting there. So we'll bring you more information as we start getting to the close on the audit on the results and different things that we're looking at. One thing that you will be seeing coming forward pretty soon is council needing to approve our lodging tax grant applications. We have all the applications in, and we'll be getting the committee together those and make a recommendation to council. So that'll be coming forward most likely the second meeting in November. So I will put that on our calendar to have that discussion. And then from a staffing standpoint, one thing I'd like to do is if we have recruitments going on or different things there, I'd like to brief council on those just so you know what changes are going on with staff in the city. We have someone on our meeting right now, Cheryl Brew, we have decided that retired life sounds a whole lot better than working life. Can't imagine why. But she has been a longtime valued member of our staff, and she's looking at retiring here in December. So we do have an open recruitment right now in just the first two or three days. We've had a little over 30 applications come in. So over the next couple of weeks, we'll be going through those, weeding these out, and then doing the interviews and everything. To get a new candidate to come in and work with Cheryl for a few weeks until the time that she goes. So other than that, that's all that I have for you today.
All right, thank you, Doug. And moving into our council reports. And so Councilman Houch, I know that you wanted to take a few minutes because you wanted to thank a few people. And would you like to do that now or would you want to wait until later?
Mayor, if it would be okay with you, I would be happy to go last on the reports, and I'll keep it brief so we don't drag this out too far.
Not a problem. All right. So then we will move into Councilman Owen. Do you have anything to report? Hearing none, I'm going to take that as a no. Councilman DeYoung.
Well, it's just a beautiful day here in Ward 6. Great autumn day, seeing kids on their bicycles. Of course, after they finished up all their Zoom meetings for school. And it's just been a glorious day here in Cedar Willy in Ward 6. And just wanted to just take a note of, just wanted to thank Councilmember Couch for the last 34 months of service on this council. I've appreciated his hard work and his passion on his issues. And I do look forward to seeing him in leadership positions in the future, and hope to be working on a team with him on issues that are important. And Jared, I'm going to miss you.
All right, thank you. Councilman McGoffin.
Hi, thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to thank Councilman Couch for his contributions and service. And I was bummed I didn't get to spend more time, but I know you're going to achieve a lot moving forward, so best of luck. I'd also like to request an excuse for the last meeting. I had a work permit that kept me later. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, I would move that we approve Councilman McGoffin's absence in the last meeting.
Second. Second, Councilmember DeYoung.
So I have a motion by Councilman Couch, seconded by Councilman DeYoung to absence of Councilman McGoffin at the last meeting. I believe it's October 14th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Same sign. Thank you, Brandon. Okay, Councilman Allen.
Well, Madam Mayor. Oh, geez. I would like to thank Councilman Couch also. I'm really sorry that we've been able to be together for like 8 months in a real meeting. But anyway, he is a wonderful council person and we'll miss him. I hate Zooms.
Mayor, I believe you're on mute still.
Councilmember Kinzer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Cheryl Brew, I am really sorry to hear that you're retiring, and I really thank you for everything that you've done for the city. You've been such a great asset to the city and such a huge help, and you will really be missed. We appreciate you. I want to bring to everyone's attention that there was a lot of vandalism done up at the Northern State Hospital Cemetery recently. I apologize for my dog barking. Really a lot of vandalism that's going to take a lot of money to repair at this point, and makes me really sad. Pictures to the mayor and to Nathan, and a lot of it's broken damage to the memorial that the students put up several years ago. And it's really, really, really disheartening to see that. And I'm just hoping that we can try to protect that area until we can utilize the grant that we have to really secure it. I don't know, I plead to all of you to drive out there. Northern State Hospital Cemetery, and just make your presence known up there to try to deter people from doing all this damage. It's probably happening at night. I don't know. I have no idea. We don't have any idea, but It's a lot of recent damage, far worse than what Nathan shared with us recently. So please, if you can take a few minutes out of your time, drive up there, make your presence known, let people know that we're looking out for that place, because it means a lot to all of us. And Jared, we appreciate you. We appreciate everything you've done for the city. Your passion is amazing. It's going to be a great loss with you leaving, but this is just the beginning for you. And we really wish you the best in the future. Thank you.
Mayor, this is Bill Chambers. Can I interrupt for just a second? I believe that the interference, the feedback is coming from your microphone and speaker.
Okay.
So if you can be sure to mute yourself when you're not speaking, that will help.
I'm trying to do that. I'm sorry. Okay. I will. Okay. All right. Thank you, Bill. And I think that was well stated, Brenda. I also want to mention, I think something that Nathan shared with Brenda and I had to do with the grant money. I wanted to know where on the list the fencing was supposed to go in up there. Nathan said that they're, because of the monies and how we receive them, we have to jump through a lot of hoops. We have to have an archaeological group come out and check it out. So it's a long drawn out process, and it looks like it won't be till spring of the year that we're able to possibly get that fence up. So I concur with Brenda. I echo what she has to say. If you have opportunity to go up there, make a presence known, that would greatly increase. She's absolutely right. How much that's done is, it's horrific. I think it's horrific. It's terrible. Much worse than the last time. So,
Madam Mayor, is there a way I can share all those photos with everyone without breaching some kind of whatever?
You can send them to maybe a couple people at a time, or even send them individually to each one, but you can send them out.
Okay, because I'd like everybody to know how bad it really is, so that maybe people are more encouraged to go up there and make their presence known.
I agree.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And then Council Member Kesty.
Madam Mayor, can I have a word with you, please?
Well, I called on Council Member Kesty. I'll let you talk right after she's through talking. Is that okay?
Well, I had my brother passed away this morning, and I would like to be excused from the rest of the meeting.
Madam Mayor, I move the excuse of Council Member Owen.
Second.
Madam Mayor, I second that.
We have
a motion. Condolences, Chuck.
Thank you very much. Good luck to
the Young, Kinzer, Couch. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed, same sign.
So very sorry, Chuck.
Council Member Kess.
I'm very sorry, Chuck, about your loss. Well, I've got a couple things. So the chamber is in need of volunteers with ladders to help decorate the downtown poles with branches. Branches go up November 28th at 9 a.m. meeting outside the bowling alley. Wear gloves and warm clothing. There are 36 poles to decorate, so the more the merrier. And any questions, you can contact Shelby Brazier. And I have her phone number here. Am I allowed to say that, her, if people wanted to contact her?
Has she made that public knowledge?
Yeah.
And you know, something else that you may want to think about doing, Councilman Kesty, is also sending that information to Bill Chambers, and he can put it on our Facebook page. That's helpful.
Perfect. Okay, Shelby Brazier. And also, I'm sad to see Councilman Couch go, but I wish you the best of luck for all your future endeavors, and I know you're going to do amazing things. That's it.
Thank you. Okay. Darren.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just want to take a couple minutes to, you know, thank a few people and, you know, from day one, even through the election, it was a nail biter getting in and even winning the seat. And I fully expected to spend, you know, quite a few terms here. Cedar Woolley's always been home, even though I was raised in Lyman. But I want to thank, you know, all of the council members. I appreciate everyone's kind words. Like when I talked to Vince from the paper, you know, I said, this is a good group because we might not always agree on everything, but we definitely get business done. And I think we always try to do what we believe is best for the citizens. And, you know, I think sometimes a good, healthy disagreement is needed. So I definitely want to thank the council. I want to thank the community for, the support. I don't think we've had in recent times, we haven't had very many younger council people. And I think it's good to have, you know, a nice split in the group, and it brings different viewpoints, from the community. So I want to thank the community for their support and their trust. And, I said when I was running for city council that there was a few things that I really wanted to focus on, and public safety and our first responders were a point that I always pushed hard for, you know, because when people pick up the phone on their worst day, they want a firefighter or a police officer to show up to their door. And I think this council did a great job in passing Proposition 1 in a time when many politicians are, you know, pandering to the public and defunding the police. We Cedar Woolley did the right thing, and we supported our community and supported public safety. And we're blessed in Cedar Woolley to have, you know, great leadership within our fire and police departments, and great staff. And that doesn't go for just those departments. We have phenomenal people throughout this city who continually do more with less. And sadly, that, you know, that's the Cedar Woolley way, but our staff continually do what it takes to keep the city running. And I hope the department heads will send my thanks out to all of their staff. I wish I could leave in the same manner that I came in, by going department to department, meeting people and hearing their needs. I wish I could say my goodbyes, but COVID is not allowing for that. One other issue that I got an update this afternoon from Mark that I was pleased to hear is that there's a good effort being made on the public works and solid waste building. It's an issue that Mark probably got tired of me asking about or bringing up, but I wanted to push hard for that, because when I toured and I saw a mechanic working on a garbage truck laying a piece of cardboard over a mud puddle, I knew that was not okay for Cedar Woolley. And I appreciate our staff working hard to make those things happen. I don't want to get long-winded, because Chief Tucker will come up with some snarky comment or say something to me about talking too much. So, Mayor Johnson, I apologize for not giving you a heads up on this, but I did want to ask the council for support on something. As your mayor pro tem, I would ask that the council support me in me nominating Councilwoman Joellen Kesty to finish my term as mayor pro tem.
Well, okay. We can move forward with that. Is that a motion then on your part, Jerry?
It is.
All right. All right. So we have a motion made by Councilman Jared Couch, seconded by Councilwoman Brenda Kinzer, to nominate Joellen Kesty, Councilwoman Joellen Kesty, as Mayor Pro Tem. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Same sign. Congratulations. Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Jared.
Thank you, everyone. And I appreciate it, everything. And I think, like I said in the paper, this probably isn't the last time that you'll see me in public office. So I look forward to seeing you all again and serving you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jared. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jared.
It's been a pleasure.
So I have the pleasure of actually going last. And I want to say that everything that's been said about you, Jared, is absolutely true. You are going to be missed. You've been a huge asset on the council. You've brought things forward that other people haven't talked about. I will let you know that the Public Works Building, Chuck Owen actually brought that up shortly after he came on as council member too. It was something that he really wanted to see happen. So you're not alone in those concerns and efforts. You know, Jared, there's so much that's lying ahead of you. You're intelligent. You have a great rapport with a lot of people. And I know that you're going to be successful in whatever you choose to do. And I look forward to voting for you if it's a council, some sort of county office or whatever it is. I look forward to voting for you. We do have a plaque for you, Jared. We did get one for you. Be so kind, I will read it to you. And at some point I will be able to give it to you. Are you actually here in the building right now?
I am. I'm sitting in my seat for one last time.
I recognize the room, so I'm hoping that you won't go away so I can get this plaque to you at the end of the meeting. But it says, presented to Jared Couch, Council Member at Large, January 1st, 2018 through October 28th, 2020. In grateful appreciation for your outstanding leadership, dedication, and commitment to excellence these past 3 years on the council and as acting mayor pro tem. You have positively impacted our community and made it a better place to live. With sincere gratitude and thanks, on behalf of the citizens of Cedar Woolley, the city council, and myself, Mayor Johnson, thank you. Thank you, Jared, you're gonna be missed.
Thank you, Mayor Johnson. I appreciate it. And I'll note down that you're my first endorsement for future political office. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, so, Jared.
Yeah. I think you'll get more than just mine, I'm sure, from this council. And then just one last thing I wanted to make everybody aware, if you haven't been, we had the groundbreaking ceremony for the Evaluation and Treatment Center, which is off of Highway 20 by the Life Care Center. The commissioners and I were out there. It's been a couple weeks now, and we are looking forward to having this treatment center in place. As you've heard, you know, both Chief Klinger and especially Chief Tucker talk about the great need, a place where we can actually place people who are in need. So this is, it's going to be happening. They are, like I said, breaking the ground. We're going to be building. I look forward to that. And just to make you aware, watch for the updates. This is really going to be a good thing for our community. So that's with that,
good.
We
good news, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you, Brenda. Okay, with that, we will move into public comments. If you'll work with me, I'm going to try to make this possible. Is there anybody who would like to make public comment at this time? I would need your name, your address, and I need you to keep it 3 minutes. It is 4:33, so I'm opening this up. Anyone who would like to make public comment? Okay, I actually have 4:34 now, so I'm going to close public comment. We did not receive anything that I am aware of in the mail, so we will move on now to public hearing. And again, the time is 4:34, and I will open this public hearing for the purpose of considering proposed revenue sources for the 2021-2022 budget, including possible increases in public tax revenues and utility rates. So again, if anybody would like to make a comment at this public hearing, I need your name and your address and that would be appreciated. Is there anyone who would like to make comment? Okay, hearing none. Doug, I want to know if you received any information. I saw where your name was listed for people to send their comments to. Is there any comments?
I did not receive any. I did receive one call. I talked with Mrs. Helen Williams, and she said she would like to come to the November 12th meeting to possibly make some comments at that time.
All right.
So that she is not in today.
So hearing no others, it is 4:35. I am going to close this public hearing, and I'm going to turn it back over to you, Doug.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. So we have two different items tonight as listed on your agenda. The first is the 2021 property tax levy ordinances, and it's a little bit different this year. And as we've talked in the past, property taxes can be adjusted by the lower of the IPD, which is the implicit price deflator. That's a consumer price index type item, or 1%. So in years when the IPD is less than 1%, you can still do the 1%. There's just a second step that has to be done. So this year is one of those years. The IPD is at 0.602%. So what this means is we do one ordinance that asks for the 1%, and then we have to do a second ordinance that says, okay, for us to go from the IPD to 1%, we're going to list some of our substantial needs. So the ordinances you have, 1963-20 is the first ordinance, that's our typical ordinance, and then ordinance 1964-20 is the substantial need ordinance. So tonight, really the purpose was to hold the public hearing and then just introduce these ordinances to you. I put a cover sheet on those that's explained some of the dynamics and things that we're looking at. And then we'll bring this back on November 12th to have the full presentation and discussion and the request of council to take action on both the property tax levy ordinances and the utility ones as well. So that's the first item. The second item is our utility ordinances. And as we heard in some of the comments earlier tonight, the city's utility committee met and we talked about, in particular, sewer and the requirements we have there. And in our sewer plan and in the capital improvement plan that we're doing, we noticed that we need a 2.3% change in our utility rates. Now, normally we would look at the consumer price index. It's at 2.474 for the year of the what inflation is doing with our expenditures. But after our public works crew and Mark and I worked together, we got to about the 2.3% mark and said, you know, we really don't need any more than that, even though the consumer price index is higher. We're trying to be really sensitive to rates in the community in that. So for sewer, stormwater, and solid waste, they're all coming in right about that same number. So there are three ordinances attached. We'll talk about these on November 12th as well. And they each include a 2.3% rate increase. And we'll have more of the details and things there in a full presentation on those at the second reading on these ordinances. But as I mentioned, this is just to introduce the ordinances to you. And between now and November, if you have any questions, please feel free to give me a call. And if not, I'll bring these forward on the 12th and we can have a good discussion at that time. And that's all that I have on these items tonight.
All right. Thank you, Doug.
Madam Mayor.
Yeah.
I had one comment for Doug. Doug, is there a way for us to maybe beef up our public education on this process? Because it seems like every time we look at this, we end up just get hammered because all people see are, the city's raising taxes, you know, and it's like, boom, we're raising property taxes and we're raising utilities and we're raising this, raising that. But I don't have the answer. I'm not trying to be critical of anybody. It's something that you always hear. you know, I just don't know how we can better put that out to people or try to help help educate people on the why we do it, if that makes sense.
It does, Jared, and it's a very good question. And ever since, I think it was Initiative 695 back around the year 2000, when the process changed and we had to do this, it's very tough because we want to be sensitive to households, you know, that are on fixed incomes and those things. But at the same time, we have a fiduciary responsibility to still provide our level of service that we need to. We're not trying to store up money or have huge reserves, but inflation is not our friend. And but it's hard to put that out there because each year it does sound like the city's just doing a new tax again. But I think you raised a really good point. You know, it might be one of those things where we break the curve a little bit here and do some public outreach to explain to our customers and our citizens why this is needed to be done and the effects of that so they see it. It probably won't make everyone happy all the time, but I think the best thing to do is to communicate, and you can't go wrong there. And I think that would help you all as elected officials too, to have information that you can talk to your constituents about. So at least they can be better informed and we all kind of understand why these things are necessary. So like you, Jared, I don't have a definite answer, but that's definitely something we can work on and put some information out.
Questions and thank you, Madam.
I also ask a couple questions, Councilman Allen.
Just a moment, I see where Vince Richardson is on the line, and maybe you can meet with him and do some sort of an article. That might be helpful too, getting it out in the paper, just getting it out there. Thank you, Vince. Thank you, Doug. All right, Glenn.
Okay, Doug, a couple questions. What is the most equitable property tax increase, and how many people and organizations and governmental agencies are exempt from that tax? And if we made it up with a utility tax where everyone paid, it wouldn't be that much more, but how many people are exempt from property tax, like state agencies, city agencies, federal agencies, schools, everything else? Is it equitable for everybody? And what is the most equitable? And I'll leave it in your hand, okay?
Okay. You know, it's a very good question, Glenn. And it's, you know, if you want to ask me a question to get me excited, you just asked it. Because that equitable piece is a really important one. Property taxes, there is a lot of debate on, for each person, is it a fair tax and equally distributed between different people with different household incomes and things like that. Property tax, sometimes there's a lot of debate that is not as equitable as others because it's not based on spending. And you can be in a house that, in fact, the lady I talked to this week, her tax appraisal on her house went up 50% this year. She didn't change anything on her house. She's a widow on a fixed income. So there are things that happen like that people don't have control over, and it may not be a fair spread of tax across everybody. But that being said, utility taxes are ones that it's based on spending more. And some cities, you will see that property taxes don't even quite keep up with inflation because of the 1% limit. And if they don't have a lot of sales tax, then cities will go towards utility tax. And it's not unusual to see smaller cities that are not on I-5, say they're in Eastern Washington, they can have utility taxes, you know, up above 20%. And it's just the decision they've made as a community on how they want to make their tax base more equitable. So there's not a clear and concise answer to that. But those are just some of the different things that you have to consider when you're asking that question and trying to decide what's the best thing for Cedar Woolley.
Okay, Doug, a second question. Okay, I mean, on property tax, who is exempt and who doesn't pay? And a utility tax, how many more people pay? I mean, do schools and stuff pay for property tax? No. Or you know, do federal agencies, state agencies, and would possibly a utility tax be fairer to everyone? It's almost a user tax. That's my question. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, okay, and I understand your question. There are a lot of, in fact, I think you gave about as good a list as I could give of all the organizations that are exempt from property tax. You have housing authorities and some other as well that have different ways where they don't pay property tax, but they pay a small amount. It's called payments in lieu of taxes. But the main thing, if it's another governmental entity, there's a good chance they're probably not paying property tax. Those same organizations do usually have utilities, and they will pay, you know, utility tax on their utility bills. As far as the total amount of whether it's equitable or not, I'd have to do a little bit more work on that and look at Cedar Woolley's tax base and just see where that falls. And council would have to make that decision as far as, you know, what they feel is fair and what the best way to approach that would be.
Thank you. Thank you for your input. And also churches and not, you know, I mean, I'm not picking on anyone. But anyway, thank you, Doug, very much. And maybe if you can equate some of that into a future scenario, that might help me out. Okay, thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you, Glenn.
Right. Good questions. Thank you. We were, let's see, we're moving on to unfinished business. The first thing we're looking at is the 2020 cemetery user fee. This is the second reading, and I'm looking for some, possibly looking for action on this ordinance. Mark, are you, I don't see Nathan on here. Are you going to be covering this?
Yes, I'll cover this one, Mayor. Thank you. So at the last meeting, we had a first hearing on this. This is a proposed increase in the cemetery rates. Nathan carefully prepared a comparison of several agencies, which is attached to this. He's tried to be, you know, in the range of the spread of the comparisons there with these rates. As was brought up by Councilmember Owen at the last meeting, these rates don't really cover the cost of operating the cemetery. So we have been basically subsidizing these cemetery for many years, and it has been growing fairly quickly over the last few years. I gave you some numbers in the updated memorandum that just talk about what the subsidy has been from 2015 to 2019. The average yearly increase has been about 10%. We're up actually in 2020, the budget was $83,086, and in 2021, it's budgeted the same. The question was also asked what would be the impact of the proposed rate increase, and that's about 12%. It's a very variable thing, of course, when you're talking about basically users' fees. They've been coming in at a fairly good clip this year. That of course equates to human tragedy, but they have come in a little above normal this year. But that 12% does represent about a $7,200 increase in fees on an average year. And of course that still doesn't cover the entire amount. It's a subsidy, but it would reduce it by that amount. So that's basically, I think, answers the questions that were raised the last time. We would appreciate council moving forward with this. This would be a rate increase that would take effect. Let's see, how did we set that up? Sorry, I don't know that answer. Anyway, we would ask your consideration of moving this along to adoption.
Are there any questions or comments for Mr. Freiber?
It would be effective on January 2021. Sorry about that. It took me a minute to get down to that point.
Is this, please, someone, is this an issue we are going to vote on tonight?
That would be my recommendation.
Okay, and can you, well, let me get a pen. And I, this is Councilman Allen. I might be one of the first victims of the new rates, but I don't really care. What is the number of the, oops, are you there?
Are you looking for the ordinance, what the ordinance would be?
The ordinance number.
Yeah, 1928-20.
1920? I'll make a motion that we adopt ordinance 19-20.
Second.
Okay, so I had a motion by Council Member Allen, seconded by Council Member Couch to approve ordinance 1968-20, amending the City of Raleigh Municipal Code Chapter 2.80 to increase certain rates and charges for the City of Raleigh Union Cemetery. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, although I don't approve in increasing any rates on anything right now, I do have to approve.
Any opposed? Same sign. Looks like we have passed ordinance 1968 for the cemetery rates. Thank you, Council. Moving on to the amendments to Title 17, the City of Raleigh Municipal Code to address model homes. This also was a second reading, and this will be ordinance 1969-20 if the council decides to move on this tonight, vote on this tonight. So, Mr. Coleman, you're on.
Thank you. So, this is a second read. We discussed the proposed model home ordinance a fair amount at the last meeting. I feel inclined to spare the council from rereading it to you and giving another synopsis, but if anybody would like me to hit the highlights on this, I'd be happy to do so.
Madam Mayor, this is Council Member DeYoung.
Go ahead, Council Member.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would like to move for adoption, 1969-20, which is an ordinance in the City of Cedar Woolley, Washington, adopting amendments to Title 17 of the Cedar Woolley Municipal Code to establish regulations for the construction of model homes in a subdivision that has not yet received final plat approval.
Councilman McGoffin, second.
Okay, we have a motion by Council Member DeYoung, seconded by Council Member Goffin, to approve ordinance 1969-20, amending amendments to Title 17 of the City of Raleigh Municipal Code addressing model homes. Any more discussion? Any discussion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Moving on to our new business. Oh no, we have one more unfinished business. It looks like we have the RCO LWCF grant match certification. So Mark, are you covering this?
Yes, I will. Thank you, Mayor. So as council knows, Nathan Saucine, our Public Works Operations Supervisor, applied for two grants to support the development of the Olmsted Park. The first one was a land and water conservation fund grant through the Rural Conservation Office. And the other one, I don't remember what the acronym was, but it was an WWRP grant. Both of those were for $500,000 to support the $1.307 million estimated development cost for Olmsted Park. We also have a commitment of $400,000 from the Port of Skagit, plus some in-kind labor and materials to make up that total. When the selections were announced, we were in the field where it's fairly likely we will be funded for the LWCF grant, but we're not recommended for award for the WWRP. That does leave a $500,000 shortfall in our budget for the project. RCO requires that the agencies that are likely to be recommended for award pass basically a resolution that certifies the applicant match for the project. And of course, that creates a bit of a problem for us. They also require that that match be adequate for the entire scope of work applied. So we've been scrambling, looking to see how we might come up with the additional funds. We have basically two avenues we have identified. The one that's actually recommended is to allocate additional account 311 parks impact fee funds to make up the difference. And I've given a breakdown of how that would happen. The total local part of this is $807,000. We have the $400,000 from Port of Skagit. We have already budgeted $113,000 for the sanitary sewer improvements at the site. We have $197,000 in account 311 park impact fee funds at this time that are in the account. That would leave us short after discounting the donated labor and material, $72,000. As I described in the memo, the park impact fee fund is a $1,500 charge per residential unit on development in the city. And that's been coming in at a pretty good pace. I summarize on the second page of where that's looking. With the number of units that we're projecting for the remainder of this year and then into next year, we're anticipating that there will be somewhere around 156,000 additional units by the end of 2022 when this project will actually be built. That equates to about $234,000. Now, there's no guarantee on that, of course, but we do see the BYK development is under construction out on McGarrigle Road with 64 units, I believe, or excuse me, 85 on that one. And then we have another one up on between Jones and F&S Grade Road that has another 26, I believe. So between those two enough, we can expect that more than enough funds will come into that fund over the next months, a year or so, to make up that additional $72,000. So what we're proposing to do is to go ahead and our finance manager, Doug Merriman, will need to sign this to certify that we have the funds available to match the project if it is awarded by the legislature in their session this spring. In addition to that, we look to see what else we might be able to do to reduce the impact on our funds. And we do see there's a number of cost savings, which I've outlined in bullet points on the second page of the memorandum. And those, thank you, Bill. Those are the first one, the admin architecture and engineering amount of the budget was $215,000. We have already completed the engineering and architectural design to about 75%. And so we're thinking the final design, a generous allowance for that is about $100,000. So there's about $115,000 remaining from that, that amount that we budgeted there that we may well be able to save. We would still, if it did come in less than that cost, we would still be meeting the requirements of the grant because we would still be building the entire scope. So we don't know for sure we'll save that much, but it looks pretty good for that. Also, permitting was budgeted at $50,000. We think that's extremely generous as well. The site preparation in the engineer's estimate is $507,000. We're thinking we could easily save 10% of that on what we see in the project. And then the final thing is the restroom was budgeted at $100,000. We've been building those with our own forces the last few years for around $50,000. That one's a bit of a stretch on this because with the rules for self-perform work, we typically have to look at them as a project account, a project total. And in this case, with a $1.3 million grant, it's probably questionable whether we could do that with our forces because it is considered a part of the overall project, but it is a place that we might be able to save if we had to. So we think we have enough funds in the park impact fee to move ahead with authorizing Doug to certify this and send in that paperwork. That is the next step for us to be awarded the funds, and that is due, as I noted in the memorandum, by November 2nd. So we do need to act on this tonight if council is willing to move forward. So there is a at the top of the memo, and so we appreciate the consideration. If you have any questions,
I have a question.
Yes.
Go ahead, Councilwoman.
Are we ready for questions?
Yes, go ahead, Councilwoman Kinzer.
Okay, this is a little off topic, but yet it is on topic. What is the status of the Omniprocessor production on site on Northern State that is
actually I haven't heard any new news on that for several months. The last that I talked to Stanley Janicki at Cedron, they were building a second version of the Omniprocessor in Indiana. They had just started that at that time, and that's been 2 or 3 months ago. I actually don't have an update on that. I could get one for you for the next council meeting. It's probably time for me to talk to them anyway.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Thank you, Mark, because it does, but yet it doesn't affect the whole big picture. So I would like to know what the status of that really is.
Yeah, that's certainly a key element of the development of the SWIFT Center. So yes, it is sort of.
Yes. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, I would, I guess I want to just kind of hear from Doug on the finance part of it. It just seemed, it seems like we were a little iffy on, we think we have the funds. If Doug, if you could kind of break down the numbers part of it for us a little bit.
Sure. As far as the funding goes, as Mark mentioned, we have the commitments from Port of Skagit for the $400,000. The sewer fund of $113,000, that's the sewer fund's contribution, and we have that built into the budget already. Park impact fees are monies that we have on hand of $197,000, and so we're good to go there. The one area, the $72,000 in park impact fees, that is when I will talk to Mark a little bit more on this one, just to make sure on what the certification language is. We have other funding sources we can use to balance that out if our park impact fees, say, coming in since October 22nd, are not sufficient by the time the project is done. So that's one kind of moving target we have with there a little bit. And then Mark has talked about the donated labor and material. So we have the capacity to do these. We'll have to keep an eye again on the park impact fees. I know we do use those for other things there, but if our revenue keeps up and we're looking at the different parcels that are coming into the city over the next year or two, we should be fine in our park impact fee fund.
And all that information is listed on the front page of the packet regarding RCO, if you wanted to confirm that or have that in hand when having discussions with others. So are there any questions, other questions or concerns that council would like to address at this time?
Yeah, Madam Mayor, Councilman Allen, do we have to do something on this tonight, or can you come back with more definitive numbers in 2 weeks on, you know, whether we have extra funds or anything?
Well, the date that we have to have the certification into RCO is November 2nd, and we won't be meeting before then. So basically, we have to act on this tonight or forego that $500,000 grant for the Olmsted Park development. I'm sorry to put it on a short notice, but that's basically what we only got this a week ago, and we're told this is what we need to do.
But the $500 grant would put us over $1.2 million towards the project.
Yeah, basically, it's a $1.307 million project. We have basically the Port of Skagit funds for $400,000, the sewer funds that are budgeted for $113,000, and the donated materials for $25,000. We have already in our Parks Impact Fee Fund $197,000. The amount that we cannot definitively say that we have in that fund right now is $72,000. But as I'm describing to you, we're pretty sure we'll be able to reduce the cost of the project by that amount and more. But in the other interim, we do project that we will have enough connections, more than enough connections over the next 2.5 years or 2 years to fund that $72,000 that we don't have cash in hand for.
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Councilman Couch.
Given just, I guess, Doug's explanation on keeping a close eye on the numbers, I would move to authorize City Administrator Doug Merriman to sign and submit the attached certification application to match for Olmsted Park Development Project.
I'll second that. Okay. Councilman Allen.
I have a motion. Councilman Allen to authorize our city administrator to sign and submit the attached certification for the grant. Any more questions? Discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. Okay, good. All right, well, I think this is gonna be an exciting project. And as you all know, our team, the Public Works Parks team, they're a great team and they've made some real miracles happen. I think we're gonna be pretty pleased with what we see in a couple of years from now up there at Olmsted Park. Okay, with that, we will move on to new business. The proposed annexation, properties at the southwest corner of Township Street and Bassett Road. Director Coleman.
All right, thank you. So again, Council, we have a annexation request. This is different from the one that we discussed recently. This is a request for about a 20.6 acre annexation along Township Road, just south of Bassett Road. It's actually the property directly north of the Fire Station 2. This property was actually already requested for annexation in 2017, and we went through the process, and at that time, Council wanted to include other properties nearby to create a much larger annexation, and that ended up taking a considerable amount of time to figure out who wanted to be part of that annexation and actually get the boundaries drawn, the proposed boundaries, and go through the process. And the council did approve that, and then it went to the Boundary Review Board, and the Boundary Review Board said it took too long, so they kicked it back to us. So where we're at now is the property owner of the original annexation request has again requested to have their property annexed. And since the last process took a long time and they still haven't moved forward, what staff is recommending is that we just process their annexation as they're just their three parcels that they're requesting instead of trying to expand it. This would move them along much faster than they're that's what we recommend. The property itself is mostly field. There's it's zoned R5 for most of it. That's the residential 5 zoning. And then the property, portion of the property, about 6 acres, that front on township are zoned mixed commercial. So if you recall from the last time we had an annexation initiation request, there's a few things that we have to address at this meeting per state statutes. Those issues are laid out on the memo under right there under issues. And again, in this memo, what I've done is I've described the staff recommendations for each of those issues, and we'll go through them one by one. And if the council wants to discuss before making a motion, that's how we I'll be able to answer your questions as we move through these three different questions. So the first question is the city interested in accepting an annexation petition from Valley High Investments at all? And staff recommends yes. We've already, you know, the council already did approve this annexation at one time, so there's nothing's changed. We just hit a procedural error, so we'd like to move forward again. So the first question is, should the city accept, reject, or geographically modify the proposed annexation? And like I explained, we'd also request that the council not geographically modify the proposed annexation, just recommending that the council make a motion to continue the proposed annexation process requested by Valley High for the three parcels that they have requested. And there's a motion in bold on page 126 of the packet. If there's any questions, I realize I went through this pretty quickly, but I feel like the council's kind of got a handle on this, so I didn't want to.
Madam Mayor, this is Councilmember DeYoung. May I ask a question?
Okay.
Seeking to get recognized, so you ask a question.
I'm sorry, I did recognize you. I don't know if it came across.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you or notice. Zoom, it's a new reality. I just wanted to make sure that this was contiguous annexation, that we're not skipping over any blank spots. And I just want to make sure I'm interpreting the data correctly, that this is the spot directly north of Fire Station 2, just south of Bottomless Lake, and that this would not put any gaps into what the city limits that we already have. Is that correct? Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good question and a good point. No, this property is entirely contiguous to city limits. In fact, it makes a very nice boundary. You know, when we look at annexations, we look for logical boundaries. This, with just these three parcels, it makes a very logical boundary. It goes from the property is adjacent to the city limits and then goes up north to Bassett Road, which makes a nice dividing line. So it makes it for very logical boundaries.
Hey, John, can you expand just a little bit on the mixed commercial part? So would that, I believe you said 6 acres. So that 6 acres, when it's mixed commercial, does that mean it has to be like first floor commercial and then apartments above, or how does that work with houses being like a mixed commercial? It seems 6 acres seems like a lot of mixed commercial.
Yeah, Bill, if we could put it on page 131, that shows the map, including the proposed zoning designation. And these zoning designations were created through the comprehensive plan and our urban growth area expansion process back in 2016, which this property owner worked with us on. The idea was the basically everything east of the creek, it's not a super steep creek in this area, a steep bank creek, but it's about 6 acres east of the creek to Highway 20. It seemed like a logical place for commercial development. So that was put in the comprehensive plan as mixed commercial use. So, you know, you'd envision like a small convenience store, gas station kind of commercial node to serve the growing residential properties in the area. What's allowed in
6 acres?
To answer your question, what's allowed in the mixed commercial is exactly that. It could be commercial uses, and residential is allowed above a commercial use. You know, if somebody were to do probably not a gas station with the residential above, but if there was maybe, you know, a commercial building, then you could have up to 8 units above the commercial.
I have concern with that.
Who is speaking, please?
Sorry, Councilwoman Kesty. With the gas station going up amongst like the homes zone for five, where's the zoning for the five?
So, you know, a gas station is just one example of something that could happen in the mixed commercial zone. The residential component, the residential part of the property is on the west side of the creek. And if you look at the map, you can see the creek go through the property. And, you know, as far as what it's zoned, that was all reviewed as part of the comprehensive mapping process. It's illustrative of what could be allowed if annexed, but it's not really something that is part of the annexation process. One of the nice benefits of the Growth Management Act is you get to do your comprehensive planning ahead of time, and then when it annexes in, you don't have to go through all the fight of what should it be zoned. It's already been pre-reviewed and understood that it would come in with this zoning. But there would be between the commercial and the residential properties, there is a creek which would have a buffer area, so they wouldn't be on top of each other.
Councilman Allen, is there a limit on how long the mixed commercial can be and then it has to be residential? I mean, is there a 10-year sundown, or I mean, are there any restrictions?
No, the zoning is what it is, unless someone were to request to change the zoning, and then it would go through the comprehensive plan review cycle again, which goes through the planning commission and then city council. But that would be a separate process.
Councilman McGoffin, I have a question, Madam Mayor.
Yes, go ahead, McGoffin.
So looking at the property, it looks like there's a pretty heavy power line that goes through the residential area. Has anybody looked at what restrictions there would be on building around that or underneath it?
So that's the same power line that goes through by over by the Alderwood Road and then crosses across the parking lot of Fire Station 2. Those, I believe, have a 100-foot easement, but you wouldn't be able to allow, they wouldn't be allowed to build houses like underneath of the power lines. Those are not the same as the big BPA ones that go over by the golf course. They're a smaller, but still a regional, they're regional transmission lines, but they're much smaller than those, the big ones that go through by the golf course. It's a separate subset of those. But there are restrictions on what can be built in that power line easement.
Okay, thank you.
John, my last question will be, is there a reason that we're, this is under new business, but we're requesting action tonight? Is there a reason for that?
So because these are, this meeting with the annexation initiator, who I should also mention is on the Zoom meeting with us. If you want to hear from
I'm aware of that.
You're welcome to. The state statutes are that the city council have a meeting about the annexation with the initiator, and the city council is to make a make recommendations as I've laid out in the memo. So it sort of implies that if you have one meeting and that it gets done, it seems to kind of supersede the two meeting rule. So we try to keep these to one meeting.
Madam Mayor.
Councilwoman Kinzer.
May I make a motion?
Yes, go ahead.
I make motion to continue the proposed annexation process requested by Valley House Investments Incorporated for three parcels north of the city limit.
Councilmember DeYoung, second.
So we have a motion by Councilwoman Kinzer, second by Councilman DeYoung, to accept the proposed annex properties at the southwest corner of Township and Bassett Road. So John, I have a question for you. Do you need A, B, or C to go with this, or do you want that to be determined after the council accepts?
They kind of follow each other, so it's good to have different, it's clear in the minutes as required by the statutes.
All right, so all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign.
I oppose. Council Member Kesty.
We have one option, Councilman Member Kesty.
And Councilman Couch. Sorry, I raised my hand.
And Councilman Couch. So, but we do, let's see here. So that would, so we still have a majority here, adding and subtracting. So looking at this, you want us to go through the A, B, and C separately, John, or as a group?
Well, that was A. So now we can move on to B, which is, and then we can move on to C after.
But you need the council to accept B before we can move on to C, correct?
Yeah, that'd make it easy.
Madam Mayor. This is Councilmember DeYoung.
Yeah, I was looking for a motion. If the council determines the city shall accept a petition to annex, if the city require the simultaneous adoption of a proposed zoning regulation. So any comments, questions, discussion?
Madam Mayor, this is Councilmember DeYoung.
Councilman DeYoung.
I move that the council determines the city shall accept a petition to annex and the city requires simultaneous adoption of the proposed zoning regulation.
Madam Mayor.
Councilman Allen, I'll second that.
I have a motion by Councilman DeYoung, seconded by Councilman Allen, for this to require a simultaneous adoption of the proposed zoning regulations. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
So, motion does carry with the two oppositions or the two opposing, Councilman Couch and Councilwoman Teske. Moving on to, should the city require the assumption of all or of any portion of existing city indebtedness by the area to be annexed? Do I have a motion?
Trying to find it here.
Madam Mayor, Councilman, I make a motion that the city require the assumption of all or of any portion of existing city indebtedness area to be annexed.
I second that.
Oh, I by Councilman McGoffin, seconded by Councilwoman Kinzer. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign.
Nay.
Nay.
So, you opposed, Councilman Kesty and Councilman Pouch. Motion passes for the city to require the assumption of all or any of the portion of existing city indebtedness by the area. So there you are, John. You have your annexation.
Thank you very much, Councilor Mayor.
Okay, one more item. We have a late item. I don't know if any of you received it. It was on the website, but it is the City of Seattle Cooperative Purchasing Agreement, the North End Truck Equipment. And this is Surplus Resolution 105920, if passed tonight. Director Freiberger, would you like to cover this for the council? How about City Supervisor Doug Merriman?
Thank you, Mayor. I think Mark is muted and may not realize it.
I was talking to myself again. Sorry about that. Thank you, Mayor. So this item was meant to be on the consent calendar, but didn't make the cutoff date. We would like to move ahead with this, however. We have in our ER&R equipment replacement repair fund the purchase of a new bucket truck to replace the one that we've been using for quite a few years. It was a used unit when we bought it. It's gotten to the point where we cannot obtain parts for it any longer. And so it's getting very difficult to maintain. So we are proposing to buy one from North End Equipment through the City of Seattle Cooperative Purchasing Agreement. There are three separate motions that would make this possible. The first one is we would have to execute the cooperative purchasing agreement with the city. This is similar to what we do with the City of Tacoma for purchasing our solid waste vehicles. And the second item for your consideration is the purchase order to actually procure the bucket truck. And the final item is a authorization to surplus the existing truck. Our budget for this in the ER&R is $150,000. The state purchasing agreement that we normally go through for this unit is $185,000. So there's a significant cost savings by buying it through the City of Seattle's agreement. Their price with tax is $153,000, which is roughly what we budgeted. And once we sell the existing truck, we'll be in good shape on that. So we would like to move ahead on this. It would require those three separate motions if council is amenable to that. The reason for the somewhat urgency on this is that we want to get this purchase done before the end of the year. North End does have one of these units sitting on the lot. There's no guarantee it will be there much longer. So we'd like to lock that in before too much longer.
Are there any other cities that we could partner with other than Seattle?
Well, that's the one that North End has the cooperative agreement with us, and we're not aware of anybody else that does with North End.
Madam Mayor, this is Councilmember DeYoung.
Yes.
I move to authorize Mayor Johnson to sign the attached cooperative purchasing agreement with the City of Seattle.
All right, is there a second?
I second that.
Any more discussion? Okay, all those in favor of authorizing Mayor Johnson to sign the attached cooperative purchasing agreement with the City of Seattle, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed, same sign. Councilman McGoffin, I see your hand is up. So I didn't know if that was a vote or just your hand was up.
Sorry, that was unintentional. I voted yay.
Okay. All right. So motion carries. So the second is a motion to authorize the Public Works Director to issue the attached purchase order number 2020-PO22 for the purchase of a 2019 Ford F550 bucket truck in the amount of $153,005.83 from Northland Truck Equipment of Snohomish County. The motion.
Madam Mayor, I will authorize the City Public Works Director to issue the attached purchase order 2020-2020. For the 2019 Ford F550 bucket truck, 153083 from North End Truck Equipment of Snohomish, Washington.
Councilman McGoffin, I second.
And it's seconded by Councilman McGoffin. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Same. All right, motion carried. And the last is a motion to authorize Mayor Johnson to declare as surplus equipment as listed on attached resolution 105920 and offer the item for sale to the highest bidder as trade in on new units or for disposal if no offers received. Do I have a motion?
Madam Mayor.
Go ahead.
Oh, good. I'm Councilman McGoffin. I move to authorize Mayor Johnson to declare a surplus equipment listed on attached resolution 20 and offer the item for sale to the highest bidder as trading or for disposal if no offers received.
We have a second.
Councilmember DeYoung seconding. Sorry, I didn't get to the mute button fast enough.
All right, so I have a motion by Councilman McGoffin, seconded by Councilman DeYoung, as stated by Councilman McGoffin in his motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 My apologies, I was here. Opposed, same sign. All right, motion carries. Do not see anything else on the agenda. If I am incorrect, please pick up. Let me know.
Yes, Madam Mayor. Could you wake up Chief Tucker, please?
He looks awake. All right.
Madam Mayor, this is Councilmember DeYoung.
Yes.
Just a point of personal privilege. I've really appreciated Cheryl's service as our clerk and taking the minutes. It's can come fast and furious, and I always appreciate the accuracy and integrity that has been displayed. And I wish you well in retirement.
We still have her for a few more meetings. So, yeah. So thank you for that. So just one last thing, a reminder that our next meeting will start at 6 o'clock. It'll be from 6 to 8. It'll be next week, November 4th. And what we're going to be looking at in our work session are the directors that will be coming in. They'll be talking about their projects and their budget. So to give the council, provide the council more information on just what it is that they're doing and what they need. And that is it. But before we close, just one last thanks to our now former council member at large and former Mayor Pro Tem, Jared Couch. And thank you so much, Jared, for your service.
So, thank you very much, Madam Mayor. And I will see you all in future public comments.
Thank you, Jared. Thank you so much, Madam Mayor, to confirm. Next meeting will be at 6 o'clock p.m.
That is correct. Yes, it is. So, and that will be our permanent time. All right. So, congratulations, Councilwoman Kesty, our new Mayor Pro Tem, and I hope all of you have a great evening. Thank you for a good meeting.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.